Bible says, chapter 8, Acts 8, 1 through 3. And Saul was there. He's talking about when they stoned Stephen to death. They threw rocks at him until they killed him. He was the first martyr of the church. And Paul was there. He was holding coats for the people as they were throwing the stones. Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution, would you say persecution? A great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Lord, we come before you. Lord, challenging time for the church. Lord, we face challenges. Lord, we face challenges, as Aaron talked about, in this community, from our past, Lord, from choices that we have made and continue to make. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning, Lord, that we can hear from your word, give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Mike, would you turn me down just a touch back there, please? Paul is persecuting the church. He is a Jew, a Pharisee of Pharisee, and he is going after the churches, meeting mainly in homes, and he is arresting people, and he is putting them in jail. I want to let you know that that is going on today. That is going on as this Islamic State thing, this ISIS thing. I don't really know if that's what, that they are moving through Syria and they are moving through Iraq. And I read an article that they are destroying all of the, any type of buildings or shrine. They're destroying Muslim shrines of the Shiite belief, because they differ in belief from the Sunnis. Sunnis are a overwhelming majority of the Muslim population worldwide. And so as they come across Shiite temples and stuff like that, they're destroying them, Muslim against Muslim. Well, they are not holding back anything as they come to the church. These are pictures of churches that are being destroyed even in the last month. Lisa was saying how there was a church that held relics of the Apostle Thomas. Here, might have heard him phrased as Doubting Thomas. And they had taken away the relics because and his bones and stuff because they knew what was coming, but they destroyed that church, and for the first time in 1,000 years, no church services were held last Sunday. There's some stuff that is going on. Last Monday, this is July 13th, on July 7th, 30,000 people were displaced in Iraq. Majority of them Christian. 30,000 people in one day. They crucified 9 people. Now, when they crucify them, they normally shoot them in the head and hang them up on a cross as a display. This is what we'll do to you. One guy, they crucified him for 9 hours. Last Monday. Is that wild? This is not 1,000 years ago. There is a cost to freedom. People are paying that cost even today. We are studying, we have been studying Acts chapters 3 through 5. I skipped over 6 and 7, the martyrdom of Stephen, just because I felt the Lord wanted us to get to Philip. Life has been good in the church. People getting saved, man. People getting healed. People live being transformed. And the religious rulers of the day, the bad guys that crucified Jesus, they're getting mad. And they are coming after the apostles, and God is just stepping right in and protecting those apostles left and right. Last week we saw God busting them out of jail. How good is that? Amen? I mean, we just sell it. Don't you just love it when the bad guys lose? Yeah? especially when you are the good guys. We love that story. People are selling stuff, selling property, bringing money to the apostles, and they are spreading it around, and nobody has need. Man, I want to join that church. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, power and truth and deliverance and freedom and salvation and stuff. Well, all that is getting ready to stop. Paul is bringing persecution to the church. The easy times and the good times are gone. New Christians, brand new. I mean, they didn't have any old Christians. They didn't have the frozen chosen because, hey, everybody was a new Christian in the day because, hey, Christ had been raised for, what, a couple of 3 months, something like that. So these brand new Christians are having to leave their homes. Brand new Christians are being thrown in jail. Brand new Christians are having to move, find a new home, and make a brand new start. Would have been a lot easier to just give it all up. Jesus Schmizus, man, I don't need that. I'm really a Jew. I'll just stay and be a Jew because I don't want to lose my house. There's a cost to freedom. In fact, you're going to move into the future. You're going to have to leave some of your past behind. Can I get a witness on that? We hear today, God doesn't really care what you think. You know what? It would, you know, why didn't they just say, hey, you know what, really, I don't believe in this Jesus stuff. And they could really believe in Jesus, but they could just, I mean, you don't got to give up your house for God. You don't really have to. I mean, God doesn't want you to suffer. God doesn't want you to go through any discomfort. God is a God of peace, comfort, happiness, and joy. That's why I come to church. Peace, comfort, happiness, and joy. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of peace, comfort, happiness, and joy when Paul started attacking, started destroying the church. But see, you just can't turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ when you've seen the lame walk, when you have seen demons cast out, when you have seen the blind be able to see. Amen? See, there is a truth that resonates deep down in these Christians that say, whatever is going on, I am not going back. I am pressing on to my future in Christ. Amen? Amen? Now, they are empowered by the Lord to be a witness. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they are on their way. Jesus said, when you find the truth, it will set you free. These brand new Christians in Jerusalem, they're enjoying that freedom. You're going to move into that freedom. You've got to be able to leave your past behind. And sometimes that is a challenge. You try to hold on to that past, and it's just going to tie you up, be a new set of chains, and you won't be able to find that freedom. These people are moving on. My question for you this morning is, are you moving on? Are you ready to pay the price? Let go of the stuff that is holding you back. You have to leave the past to find the future. The title of today's message is The Cost of Freedom. Are we okay? Could be uphill. Watch out. All right, here we go. We're going to go through about half of chapter 8 of Acts. Verses 4 through 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word. They did not mope and whine and cry about what their faith had cost them. I don't know how many in the church would be whining and weeping and trying to find, you know, the Samaritan ambassador so they get their stuff back. We got a problem with those Jews. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Philip is on the move. Now, we are not talking about the apostle Philip. We are talking about Philip, who we met in Acts chapter 6, who was one of the seven Greek-speaking Jews who was selected to supervise the daily distribution of food to the poor. All right, you can go. Stephen was also part of that seven. All right, they were Greek-speaking. That means that they had come from outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, maybe from Tarsus, where Paul was from, or some. They're called the diaspora, the dispersion of all the Jews, where they learned to grew up speaking Greek, and then they came back to Israel to live. But they were what is called Hellenistic Jews. I don't want to bore you with that. But they were from afar, and they had come back to Jerusalem to live. They were already on the move. They were already willing to sacrifice their past so that they could move into a new future, which had run along the lines of Judaism, but now had transferred to the person of Christ. Did you get all that? Is that okay? I mean, basically, you got Philip. It's easy to say, oh, Philip was the apostle. No. He was one of these other guys. Read Acts chapter 6 and you will get it. Philip is headed to Samaria. Why? Because he got kicked out of Jerusalem. And he shows up in Samaria with a great display of the supernatural power of God. Demons being cast out. People being healed. Power of God goes hand in hand with the truth of God. Right. Amen? I think Teresa's down cooking. I'm sorry, teaching today. Claudia's got a million kids, so sometimes she gets up late. But those two ladies stood up here on Wednesday and talked about how God had transformed their lives, that Claudia has started just move. She got laid off from a temporary position that was selling, delivering this candy, and she said, you know what, I'm just going to start buying and selling my own candy. And she started her own business up in one day. And she'd been doing good. And she says, you know what? I mean, her sales rate is like 80%. She goes, every store before I go in, I pray. Teresa stood up. She'd been looking for a job, and they've been looking for a house. She'd been looking for a job for a while, looking for a house for several months. She said, last week I paid my tithe for the first time, and I got a job and I got a house this week. I know it was because I tithe. And I tell you what, you begin to move into the truth of God, and you see the power of God released in your life, there will be joy in your life. Amen? And that is what they had in Samaria. There was great joy in that city. Now, let us move on to verse 9, because joy will find a challenge all the time. Amen? For some time, a man named Simon, not Simon Peters, a guy in Samaria, for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted, say boasted. He boasted that he was somebody great. I'm so good. I'm so important. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. And Simon has it going on. Simon is the man. Simon has the power. Simon is a sorcerer. We're talking about real deal magic here. We're not talking about illusion. We're not talking about sleight of hand. We're talking about card tricks. Come on, come on, any card. No, we're not talking that. We are talking real deal magic. And there is real deal magic. We saw it in Exodus chapter 8 as Moses goes into Egypt and Pharaoh has his magicians and they begin to mimic the miracles of God by magical art, sorcery from, shall we just say, the dark side. Are you following me? So they start copying what the man of God is doing, and Pharaoh's going, hey, my guys are as good as you. But they ran up against it, and they could only go so far, and they knew when they were beat. You know what I'm saying? They're saying, man, this guy Moses, he has got it going on. Simon sees that Philip has got it going on. Simon sees that Philip has more power than he does. And he says, if I'm going to have a future, I got to leave my past behind. Samaritans begin to follow Philip. They see the truth. You know, because the Samaritans, they had just the rudimentary stuff. They had the Pentateuch. They just had Moses, and they got cut off from the Jews. And so they're trying to make their way to God, and they're being, you know, put down by the Jews. Jews don't even want to walk through Samaria. You know, it's so disgusting there. And so they are searching for truth, and Philip brings the truth. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Amen? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's out there, but you're not going to find freedom. When you grab onto the real thing and you get something that you can grab onto that will take you to that good future, that is something that you want to grab onto. Amen? And that's what happened with Simon. He said, this is real deal stuff. I have to do this. I'm talking about magic. Magic is pretty famous these days. I looked up, and these are three stories, or I'm sorry, these are three TV shows. There's also this one, Sleepy Hollow. But American Horror Story and The Witches of East End and the originals, all this. And notice how, you know, they don't really got old, ugly witches anymore. They got the nice, cute-looking witches. And but what they do is you know, they really sell you. I don't watch this stuff. I'll tell you what, man, you just flick through it. It's like, whoa, that's nasty. Get out of here. And but they will pull you in. But you know what? We've been getting pulled in for a long time. Because I remember all these guys used to watch this stuff. And, you know, we've been set up for a long time to just be okay with magic. Don't get caught in. Simon got caught in. You get caught in, you get caught up, and you ain't going to have any freedom in your life. And some of us have got some stuff in our past. Might not be this. Might not be this. But there's some stuff in our past that's holding us back from our future. Amen? The question is, are you ready to move on? Are you moving on, or are you tied in to your past? All right, taking the next step, because there was a next step, and Peter and John are sent to Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, the heavy hitters. This was a big challenge, man. Because now you've got half-Jews, the Samaritans were known as half-breeds, that are now receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're struggling with that. What do we do with this? So they send Peter and John. When they arrived, Peter and John, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. We started way back in May about studying the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And this series, Life on Fire, is a study of the apostles and those believers like Philip and like Stephen whose lives have been transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Life on fire. Amen? Amen. So, as the Samaritans are beginning to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are being baptized, but they are not receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John come with the specific intent of bringing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it says that for the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And there is a revival that is going on in Samaria. The focus on the trip, the apostles are concerned in Jerusalem, the base of the church is there, and they are concerned because the Baptist is not coming on Samaria. So you can be saved. There was all kinds of salvation that was going on in Samaria, but there was not the power. There was not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is so common in our churches today. That is so common in this church. And so my question for you this morning is, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because if you have not, we would hope that Peter and John would show up here today and say, hey, all kinds of salvation going on, but the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon many. My prayer for you this morning is that you would indeed receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Been talking about this baptism, this fire, for 2.5 months now. It is still for you. It is still available for you. You can say, Lord, I want this baptism. Peter and John come in, the big wigs from Jerusalem. They lay hands on people, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what is so incredible, this is part of the plan of Jesus. Because he says what? Oh, it's not there. Oh, there it is, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Judea was the area right around Jerusalem, all Jewish, and then into where? Samaria. Jesus had preached in Samaria, John chapter 4, woman at the well, in Samaria. Amen? And so he says, you're going to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we see this progression when the Lord says to his apostles, you're going to receive power to be a witness. And here's the progression. And that's what we're going through this study, is to see how much the word lines up with what Jesus had intended. Now, is that okay? Amen. Are you tracking with me? Who said that? Tommy? Say it again. There we go. Okay, I'm going. God is looking. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just said some people don't have it. Are you willing to, are you desiring to be a witness? You know, Aaron stood up here with this incredible display saying, this community needs prayer. You know what this community needs is truth. What this community needs is truth combined with power. We see the effective power of God released into people's lives. People go, what have you got going on? Because that's what happened in Samaria. Let me tell you about Jesus. Amen? Amen? Don't say, let me take you to church. Say, let me introduce you to Pastor Bob. Let me introduce you to Miss Lisa. Say, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I don't know everything about him, but I know when I met him, my life has been transformed. Let me tell you about Jesus. You tell him about Jesus. Say, you want Jesus to come into your life? Yes. Lead him to the Lord. Say, hey, Jesus, come into my life. Then bring him to church. Then bring him to me. Then bring him to my wife. And we'll see us walk together. Amen? Amen. You want a new future? You got to leave the past behind. You got to tell him that. Man, I had to leave my past behind. Are you struggling? Does your past come up and grab you by the ankles? Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was received when Peter and John laid their hands on these believers. There is no formula for the receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 3 out of 4 instances, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, they spoke in tongues. In this situation, we're going to talk about today, is something was going on. It doesn't mention what was going on, but something was going on that Simon could see and say, whoa, whoa, I want that. So there is kind of a pattern that we see. And as you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first manifestation, the first thing that you're going to see is going to be speaking in tongues. We don't do it to speak in tongues. We do it for power that we can be a witness. Amen? Amen. So in Acts chapter 8 here, they lay hands on the people. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, Paul goes to Ephesus. He lays hands on people, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, he is just preaching. Peter is just preaching, and the people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. No hands, no nothing. In day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when they are upstairs in the upper room praying, fire seems to come down in tongues of flame on each believer, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. In Acts chapter 4, they were praying, and the house is shaken, and everybody who's in the house gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they lay their hands on in chapter 8 of Acts and chapter 19 of Acts, but that's not a formula. You don't need me or Pastor Paul, Lisa, Pastor Dave, Pastor Scott, anybody to lay their hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, watch out. Your house might shake. Amen. There might be fire coming down. You know what? God wants you to just be lit for him. And he'll light you up. For that to happen, you're going to have to let your past go. Because there's some stuff that'll grab you by the ankles. All right, let's keep on going. Verses 18 and 19, there is a challenge to progress. Some of you might be right up against that challenge. Now, Simon had been following Philip around, going, whoa, this guy's got it. Peter and John come into town. Let's see what happens. When Simon saw, this is Simon the sorcerer, saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everybody on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He said, yo, Peter, hey, what can I do for you? Look at this, man, I got a pocket full of cash. Bam, here you go. It's all ones, folks, by the way. Now, let me get back. That was not in my notes. Simon sees something he's used to. I mean, Simon is a sorcerer. Simon works in sorcery, works in magic, and he sees Peter and John roll in from Jerusalem, and these are the big wigs. And they are coming in, and they are at a whole nother level from Philip. And he's seeing Philip, and he's going, I want what these guys got. Now, this is probably something that he had seen before, where another sorcerer would come into the area, and he would go, wow, that guy's got this aspect to his life, his power, whatever. I want to buy that from him. So that when he leaves, I'll have that power. I'm going to buy his spell. I'm going to buy his incantation. I'm going to find out what demon spirit that he is accessing to do this thing. Because why? Because I want to build my influence. I want to build my prestige. I want to be able to impress these people even more so they will continue to say what? He is the divine power. Because I am liking it. Simon sees this, just sees it in a second, and boom, he is like the old Simon. Old moves coming right back up on him. That ever happened to you? You're walking along, you have left that old life behind, you know, and this guy Simon is following Philip around. He's going, this new life is so good, go, and all of a sudden, boom, it's just like a lasso from the past. Comes right around his neck, goes, yank! And he is the old Simon once again. Am I talking to anybody here today? It might not be magic. Might be gambling. Might be drinking. Might be eating. Might be angry. Might be all kinds of stuff that can come from your past. And in an instant, you are ready to turn back to what God has set you free from. Peter sees it in a moment. Oh, you got no part. Oh, sorry. I am jumping ahead to the next point. I remember Lisa and I, 25 years ago, how many years, how long have we been married? 22. 21. No. It only feels like two to me. Just 2 years ago when I graduated Bible college. I graduated Bible college on May 5th. We got married on May 15th, and we were in Mexico on May 25th on the mission field. And actually, I think it was May 23rd because we shorted our honeymoon. And so I had graduated with honors, by the way, from Bible college. And in fact, it was the day I was supposed to get your diploma. What do you call it? Graduation. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not big into ceremonies. And I said, I don't need those stinking. I don't need no badges, you know. I don't need any of that. So on when I was supposed to be graduating, I graduated actually, but we left and went to go get all of Lisa's stuff because the bus was coming to go down to Mexico, and we put all of her stuff in it and said go down to Mexico so we have furniture. So, I've just finished Bible college. I am fired up, lit up. We're going down to the orphanage. We're going to work for the Lord and all this stuff. I'm getting married in a few days, this fine, fine woman I have here. And as I am throwing stuff away, I go to her dumpster in her apartment complex, throw the stuff away, and there is a penthouse. That is a dirty magazine, for those of you who don't know, okay? Right there in the dumpster. Right there. And I am telling you, in an instant, man, in an instant, I just grabbed that thing up and just opened it up, right? And it was like throwing out the trash. Whoa, right there, boom. Maybe, I would imagine, less than 2 seconds. That quick. Just, whoa, wow. And there's just this spread of skin. And I went, what the heck am I doing? Now, if I had put that in my pocket, hid that thing, how different my life would be. See, your past will come up and snatch you that quick. If you're going to move into that new future, you have got to keep that past behind you. And perhaps even this week, your past has just come up and just snatched you. You are in danger today. Simon was in danger. All right, now let's talk about it. Peter is not having it. Peter answers him, "Are you joking?" No, he didn't say that, actually. He said, Peter answered, Acts chapter 8, verses 20-25, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry." Now, Simon might have been Philip's biggest claim to fame. Follow him around everywhere. Let me help. Let me do something. And Peter comes in and tears it all down. "You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." There's some stuff in your past that will mess up your heart. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. "Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and a captive to sin." Simon is rebuked. Peter is not happy. Peter's not happy at all. Peter's kicking him out of the church. "Your heart's not right, dude. You're full of bitterness." Bitterness of what? Bitterness at what? Bitterness at not being the big guy anymore. I'm somebody great. When you start serving he who is king over kings, amen, you become less great. And if you are not fine with that, you'll begin to struggle. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You will serve the one and hate the other. And what was happening was, as Simon was going through following Philip, I believe genuinely desiring to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, genuinely desiring to follow the Lord, that past, that boasting, that arrogance, and that pride began to creep up. Just like that penthouse crept up. And if you don't toss that stuff behind you, it will destroy your freedom. It will make you captive again to sin. And so that bitterness began to grow up in Simon. The bitterness of having to be not the top dog. And I'll tell you what, there's only one top dog in this church, and it's not me. I'll tell you what, you're going to have to look real hard to find my name in this church anywhere. You look. It's not on the sign. It's not, well, it's on the staff. That's it. You go to some churches, sometimes a guy's pastor's name is bigger than the name of the church. I'll tell you what, he's the one we're lifting up around here. Jesus says when he is lifted up, that he will draw all men to him, and I don't need anything. I just need to serve him. Simon was struggling with that. Peter was not. Peter's walking around moving in the power of God. John is moving in the power of God. Philip is moving in the power of God. They said, all said, it's not me, it's him. And Simon says, let me have that for me. And your old moves, sometimes they'll get you tied up and you're just moving back to what you've got set free from. Sometimes you want to use your old moves for the benefit of God. Said, if I shake and bake the way I used to, I can really help God out. And guess what? God doesn't need your help that much. God says, no, I'm fine. I hung on the cross for you. You can do it my way. Or you got no part of this ministry. It can be a challenging day. Not if you cut loose with your past. You find joy. You're going to move into that future. You're going to have to leave your past behind. Amen? Here it is right here. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And so, as Simon began to think about his past, he began to despise the Lord. But Simon has a choice. Your past has came up and grabbed you this week, last month, last year. You have a choice this morning. Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me that nothing you have said may happen. When he had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Let me go back. I want to read verse 23 for you again. Says, repent of this wickedness and pray to God. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. So as we talk about this choice, there is the opportunity to repent. And Simon says, Peter, you got to help me here. Peter, can you pray for me? Pray that this doesn't happen. Pray that my past will not chain me down. Pray that I can be delivered from this wickedness. Pray that this bitterness will leave my heart. So you come to a decision point in your life, and you're going to have to make a turn. You can turn from the Lord and head to your past, or you can turn from your past and turn to the Lord. But you cannot do both. The church is filled with people that are at a standstill. Left. Past, right, future. Where shall I go? I am bound. If you're going to move to the future, you have to be able to leave your past behind. So my question for you is, what's come up and snatched you? You know what? I think Simon was okay. I think Peter prayed for him. I guess I hope he was okay. Text does not tell us. Stories, all kinds of stories have been made up about Simon, that Simon and Peter went to battle and all this kind of stuff. But I see in Simon somebody who has an opportunity, somebody who has an opportunity to repent, and I think he's taking it. I hope he's taking it. Either way, at least you can come up and play. Either way, this morning, you have a choice. This morning, you have an opportunity. Perhaps you come in here this morning and you are feeling good. Talking about joy being in that city. Talking about the disciples of Christ as they were dispersed, not looking behind them, moving ahead. And maybe you have believed the Lord Jesus Christ and you hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you say, you know, that is something that I want. You're not, the past is not grabbing you back and you're just saying, oh, this is an opportunity for me. I want it. Pray for me, Pastor. I'll pray for you. Real quick, is that you? No heads bowed, everybody eyes open. He's saying, hey, that's me. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not really struggling with much. And I really want that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're here, just raise your hand up. I want to just know. One, two, three, four. Lord Jesus, right now. You know what? I'll tell you what. All you guys got your hand up. In a minute, I want you to come. I want to pray for you. Pastor Paul will help me. Maybe you got the baptism. Paul says, be filled. That means be filled and keep getting filled. Keep getting filled. Keep getting filled. Say, Lord, give me a fresh jolt. Lord, I need some more. Give me the opportunity, as Mr. Aaron talked about, to pray for this community, to bring your message, your hope, your future, your power. Give me another jolt. Amen? Amen. I say, I'll take a jolt, Lord, right now. Just send your jolt. Lord, I know you. I know your spirit, Amen. Your baptism. Yes, come Lord. And just fill us up, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise. But maybe you are here this morning and your past has come up and just grabbed onto your ankle. And you are sitting here going, whoa, that kind of looks good. And you know what? In looking back and looking for that good and looking for that benefit, there's a bitterness. There is a bitterness that has grown up inside you. And you are beginning to resent Jesus for asking you to give that thing up. Response of Peter, that was, you have no part of this ministry. Your heart is not right. And I'm telling you, if you don't fix that, if you don't repent is what? You take that thing that has got you chained up and you turn away from it. And you say, oh, Jesus, confess, Lord, I am so sorry. That penthouse was looking so good, Lord. I just had to take it home and put the pictures up on the wall. I surrounded myself with it. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for that, Lord. I repent. I turn from that. And Lord, I ask that your cleansing touch, 1 John 1:8 and 9, you got sin. And the Bible says that if you confess it, Jesus will cleanse you from it. Amen? Amen. I don't know what snatched you up. Probably not a penthouse. But it could just be just as dangerous and just as slick and sly to come into your life and capture you. You're here and you're chained. You're going to move into the future. You got to let the past go. You got to let the past die. You got to help kill that past. Cost of freedom is your past. Lord, I come before you this morning. Lord, and I thank you for all those that are here that are seeking your spirit, Lord. As we come in a moment to pray, Lord, that you would bless and bring that baptism, Lord. You would bring that evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord, we give you that. But Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that you said that you came to set the captive free, and the truth would set the captive free. This morning, Lord, there are folks that have embraced their past, Lord, that are tied down, chained up, and bitterness has welled up within them. Lord, I am praying your deliverance, Lord. I am praying repentance. There are some that are here this morning saying, I am so chained by my past. I need some help this morning. Pastor, would you pray for me? And I want to pray for you. And if that is you this morning, I want to slide your hand up and just say, that is me this morning. Pray for me, Pastor. Here and here and here and here. Here. Here and here and here. In the back. I saw your hand. You can put it down. One last moment as the worship team comes. The Lord is all over you right now. Your past has snatched you up. And you did not put your hand up before. And the Lord is saying, this is you. You are chained. You are bitter. And it's time to be set free. You didn't put your hand up before. Lord, and the Lord is speaking right to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say,
yes, Lord. Yes,
that's me. Right here. Anybody else? Didn't put your hand up before. Back there. Last shot. Last shot. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing. We're singing something good. It's good having my wife singing again. But as we do that, if there are some things in your past that you want to just lay before the Lord, I just want you to come and join these that are kneeling and just come and kneel. And if you want prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just want you to stand right up here. All right? We're going to all stand together. We're going to start singing. As we do that, I'm just going to ask you to just move. Go, dear.
My guitar's cutting out. My guitar's cutting out. My guitar's cutting out. My guitar's cutting out. My guitar's cutting out.